Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and proved untrue. It was on a moonlight night, the stars were shining bright, and they whispered from on high, your lover said goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone, and say goodbye.
Sweet tunes of Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Is that a mandolin?
Banjo?
Could be a banjo, I suppose.
Whatever it is, this dude can tickle those strings.
Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining.
Maybe a plucker in a number of ways.
Shine on.
I'm a good whistler.
That's true. I can't whistle that well.
The whistle in or out.
You go both ways.
I do.
You blow.
I can't do it when I smile. All right, seriously, I gotta get serious with my whistle, which I can't do. Where's my harmonica set?
It was on a moonlight night.
Did I make the move? Still in the condo?
It did. I just don't know where it's at. All right, enough shenanigans here. What constitutes a shenanigan? Oh, you missed the pay-per-view. That line was actually used on the pay-per-view. What constitutes a shenanigan?
It's a fair question.
Everybody needs to listen to the Jerry Jarrett interview today that I did here on the website. Especially you freeloaders. You need to sign up to listen to this one. A burial of TNA, Jeff Jarrett, his own son.
Really?
Impact, Vince Russo. Just a burial up and down. It was fabulous. I didn't say anything that nobody already knows. You know what I mean? They had a poor business plan. They were fucked. They were about to go out of business, which I predicted at the time. Money Mark stepped in. Jarrett wanted the fuck out. Couldn't get out. His son begged him to stay. Son brought in Russo, who knows jack shit about wrestling. And finally, Jerry had to take Vladimir Kozlov to WWE to sever his ties with TNA. Nearly died as a result of TNA. Had a heart attack. Doctor told him, whatever it is, if it's your work, if it's your wife, you need to get rid of him. Luckily for him, it was TNA.
Thank God for him, it was not the wife.
I'm waiting for my doctor to say that. Brian, this TNA is going to kill you, brother. You're gonna have
I
to
mentioned
get rid
I've
of
got
it.
A medical degree.
Huh?
I've got a medical degree.
No, you don't.
Stop watching the Impact.
You don't.
Stop making me watch Impact.
So anyway, I just want everybody to listen to that right now. And God bless Impact, of course, as they move to Monday nights. But, you know, I just got to look at it this way. Whatever they get, they deserve. Whether it be success or failure. It's really all there is to it. Whatever they get, they deserve. They've made their bed. I mean, Jerry Jarrett said everything we've said a million times here on the show. He goes, I have no idea why when the company was started, I warned Jeff not to hire everybody from WCW. No fucking shit. He goes, where has Vince Russo ever drawn money? No fucking shit. No shit. Jerry just called it one thing after another. And it's all true. It's all true. I just love reading stuff that Vince Russo has been saying nowadays as he promotes his book about how and why he writes television. How you need to write television. Who the fuck are you to tell me how to write television? What has your television ever achieved? Nothing!
My favorite line.
You're
of
back
his...
down to a 1-2 again with Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Mick Foley, AJ Styles,
Kurt Angle.
The list goes on and on. Back to a 1-2. What has your TV ever fucking accomplished? And you're gonna tell me how to successfully write television? Boy, that got my dander up.
My favorite line was where he talked about how he had good stories, but the wrestlers would screw it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because no booker has ever had to deal with that before.
No, man. It's the history of wrestling is the story of wrestlers doing exactly what the booker told them to do.
Every single time out.
Never
questioning. Nothing has ever gone wrong.
No, there's never any tweaking by talent. It's only happened to Vince Russo.
Every wrestler has always done every job ever told to them.
This guy is just... Why am I even ranting about Vince Russo right now?
I actually have no idea.
Completely incompetent. That's just so great to listen to Jerry Jarrett say everything that I've been saying for years. This is not a mystery to anybody except Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter.
And Crumbly.
He said as soon as the Carters bought it, I just wanted out right then. He goes, non-wrestling people involved with wrestling is always a bad idea. Hence... 7 to 8 years of TNA as it currently is. He goes, how can they call themselves a success? They're being propped up by an energy company. How is that a success? When Jerry Jarrett had to book back in the day, you made money or you went out of business. No more. Now you can be the worst fucking booker in the world, and as long as you've got someone holding you afloat, you can do every stupid fucking thing in the world and stay in business. That is not being a successful businessman. That is having somebody with money taking care of you. That is being a... What would be the equivalent in the real world? That is being the son of a rich man.
Basically, yeah.
You're the son of a rich man. You never have to have a job. Mm-hmm. You could be a bumblefuck your whole life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Your daddy is... paying for everything.
Right.
That's what it is. It's like winning the lottery. It's like that goofball that's starting up Wrestlicious, okay? Does Wrestlicious ever have to really make any money? Of course not. A multi-millionaire is running it. They don't ever have to sell a single fucking ticket. Does that make that guy a good wrestling promoter? No, it makes him a Powerball winner. Everybody listen to the Jerry Jarrett interview. Just do me a favor. Just everybody listen to it right now. It's fabulous. What a fabulous man. I'm going to have to get him back on the show very, very soon. I have a bunch of announcements to make. First off, the Vinnie V charity auction for the folder on the board it's been up since yesterday. It's going to be up for 7 days. So next week on this show, we'll announce who the winner is. It's already up to like $210. Bidding went really high, really fast. And now it's kind of petered out.
People have come to their senses.
That's right.
It's just a message board.
That's right. And people have emailed me, and I just want to say this. We are auctioning off Vinny's folder, his King of the Board folder. For those of you that are newbies, I know you probably won't understand. If you've ever been on a message board, perhaps you will. But for those of you that have been on the board, there's a brand new folder, the Vinny V King of the Board folder. Vinny won it. Because he won King of the Board this year. He doesn't want the folder. He's already got one. So we are auctioning it off. The winner gets that folder and full admin powers in that folder. Now, obviously, I don't want to hear anyone bitch if they spend $500 and they can't turn it into a child porn folder. Don't be a fucking idiot, okay? Obviously, you've got to follow the basic board rules. But it's your folder. You can generally call it what you want. You can do what you want in it. You can not allow it. You can edit people's posts or you know, whatever you do as a moderator in that particular folder. It's all yours if you get it. And the important thing is, even if you don't want the folder, all of the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds are going to go to a charity. We're going to do a poll on the board. I'll take requests. We'll make a list of charities. Whichever one gets the most votes, that's where all of the money goes. So if you've got $500 laying around that you want to write off at the end of the year, then buy Vinny's folder, win the bidding, and all that money will go to charity. Now, a couple of people have emailed me and they've said, Brian, you know some of the high bidders are people that have never been on anything on eBay before. They're probably fucking around. Listen. If you fuck around on the Vinny V folder in a charity auction, first off, scum of the earth, bottom of the barrel. Can we just do this for real? I don't want people fucking around and putting a giant bid down that they don't have any, that they don't have any intention of paying. Don't do that. Because if you do that and I find out who you are, I will IP ban you and you will not be back. Just don't do that. Let's just have a real auction where the money goes to charity. Don't fuck around with this. If you want to fuck around on the board and do whatever else you want to do, which people do all the time, that's fine. But this is a real charity auction. We're trying to do some good here, so please don't be an asshole. That's number one. Number two, ECW is no more.
Hey!
Yeah. NXT debuts Boo. Next week. And TNA moves to Monday on March 8th. So, effective this week, we're just going to get going on it. The Brian and Vinny show is moving from Thursday to Friday. There's really no point of doing it on Thursday if there's no impact on Thursday.
It would be a very brief show.
What do we do? Recap NXT.
And eventually Ultimate Fighter.
We make fun of what they call everybody for 2 hours?
Yes.
Not going to happen. So, the Brian and Vinny show is going to be moved to Friday. The new schedule will be on Monday night after Raw and Impact, Dave and I will do a show. There is not going to be a Dave show and a Brian and Vinny show on Monday night. It's one thing to just say everything I said Monday again on Tuesday. That's one thing. To say it again the same night, pointless. So, Dave and I will do the Monday show recapping Raw and Impact. On Tuesday, we'll do Brian and Vinny doing Raw and Impact. And then on Friday, we will do NXT and SmackDown. And that should cover everything. So that is the new schedule for the show. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. That's just what we're doing. So, with all the hate and the anger and the vitriol out of the way, I'm going to play a quick song. And then we're going to talk about the final ECW of all time. And I brought back the old drop board, by the way, for this show. I was just using songs out of the email that I received every day, but I decided to go back and let's play some of the old classics. Play a couple of these, and then we'll get going on ECW.
I lied and told her I loved her, she didn't care.
But anyway, but anyway, Anyway.
That was straight out of the Super Chico Mega Mix.
Right.
Maybe I'll play that one later. All right, this was the final ever ECW. and
boy, did it not feel important.
I got pissed off at this show.
This was the most missable, forgettable final episode of anything ever.
Well, I don't know if I could go that far. There were things that I will remember, like, why the fuck did Christian drop the title on the last show?
Why not?
Well, I'll tell you why not. Because Christian carried this fucking show on his back for the last year.
Carried it to what?
Carried it was the only, literally almost the only thing worth watching on this fucking show for a full year.
Carried it to a show that was outdrawn by Impact.
Doesn't matter, okay? Without Christian, think about how this show would have done. The only thing worth watching on this show for a year. And in the end, he lost the belt to Ezekiel Jackson.
A big guy.
At least the final ever ECW champion could have been Christian. Instead, it's Ezekiel Jackson. Okay? They should have just called this show Eastern Championship Wrestling for the last episode. So it really went full circle. From the ghetto to the ghetto.
They should have brought Snuka back. Put him on there.
Should have. He should have beat Ezekiel Jackson there at the end. Oh, my God. Open up with Miz and The Big Show against Goldust and Yoshitatsu for the Unified Tag Team titles. Big Show, Miz, Goldust, and Yoshitatsu, all on the last ever ECW. I was never like the biggest ECW fan. You know what I mean? I watched it. There was some stuff that was good. I watched the television. Sometimes I just felt like it was just badly overbooked. There were some great things about it, but I was never like, I wasn't one of those fans that I just got so angry when WWE did certain things with ECW. I was never that passionate about it, really. I enjoyed it for what it was. Some stuff was really great. The first Barely Legal, fucking awesome. But I'm not one of those people that just can't let it go. With that said, Goldust, Yoshitatsu, Big Show, and Miz on the final ever ECW. All right. Why did Tommy Dreamer leave when he did? Why didn't he just stick around through this last show? He couldn't bear it?
I don't know. He wanted to get out.
Anyway, this match was fine.
It was not. I actually had very high hopes for it. Because
so did I.
Goldust in particular is awesome. Yoshi's been fine, and Miz and Show Me for a fun team, but they didn't get very much time. It did not go through a commercial break. They did their entrances. They wrestled for perhaps 5 minutes, maybe four. Goldust made a comeback. Then Show punched him in the stomach, and Miz hit his move and pinned him.
Yeah.
There was a point here where Big Show, I think the first time ever, Big Show executed a headlock takeover.
That should be his finisher, the side headlock.
He's hardcore.
Nobody could possibly escape that move, except maybe Kurt Angle if he put it on them.
There's a 500-pound man on you.
Yeah.
Or Mark Henry, maybe.
Said the NXT would feature superstars mentoring rookies. Throughout the show, they announced which superstars would mentor which rookies. Chris Jericho will be mentoring Wade Barrett, who they called a former bare-knuckle fighter, whatever the fuck that is, and he's that guy from England that they signed that looks exactly like Batista. Exciting. They also announced that Matt Hardy would be mentoring Justin Gabriel, who is apparently not DJ Gabriel, and he is a, quote, dynamo of energy. So they paired him with Matt Hardy.
Some of these pairings are amazing.
I feel sorry for that guy.
Done by blind draw, obviously.
So time for Tiffany's farewell address.
This is the only time on this show I actually got emotional. The very last promo by Tiffany as
bullshit.
ECW GM.
She'll be on SmackDown Friday,
ECW GM. As the person in charge of a show.
She was talking about how
she was in rare form saying NXT would have rookies who would mentor, two words. They'd serve as mentors to aggressive and opinionated rookies.
Yes. Eight aggressive and opinionated rookies.
So then Zack and Rosa walked in and she said, Zack, I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah.
So
I wish she would have just said, what?
What do you want, you fucker?
What are you possibly in the middle of? So Rosa cut a promo on her. Zach wanted it in the main event. She said no. He said it's extreme rules, so I'm just going to be there anyway. No one can stop me.
Apparently it's true.
No, it's not true. He was stopped by Tiffany. We'll get into that in a minute.
Eve was stopped. Or Rosa.
No, she sent them both to the back. She said, I told you, and then she made them go away, and they did.
I guess so. So, our next pairing was MVP, Montel Vontavious Porter, whose gimmick and real-life history is that he served 9.5 years in the Florida prison for armed robbery. He is paired with Skip Sheffield, who is, and this is a quote, an old-fashioned Texas boy who has been called a hoss inside the ring. He loves to entertain with some kind of presence.
With an
outgoing presence.
Did Tiffany write these? I mean, seriously.
She may have.
She had to.
They were all so horrible.
She should have actually read these. That would have actually made the show worthwhile.
That actually would have been great.
Who loves to entertain with an outgoing presence. Abraham Washington segment.
This was where I got really pissed.
Okay, listen, everybody. If I hear one more person talk about how the Jerry Springer thing was the worst thing ever on Raw, I will literally punch you when I see you. This was so much worse than the Jerry Springer segment. I mean, someone actually said, Brian, you said that you could name 100 segments worse than the Jerry Springer one. Well, go for it. Okay, every fucking Abraham Washington show was worse than that Jerry Springer segment. This was horrible. Abraham Washington came out. He talked. Tony Atlas laughed. He said he was going to interview the biggest star in the company as the final guest on his show. It was himself. Shelton came out to save the day. They attempted to bury each other. Vance Archer came out next.
Still employed.
Got to be fucking kidding me. Next out was Kalen Croft and Trent Beretta.
They dubbed this segment boring.
Yes.
They were correct, but still.
Then Kozlov came out, and Shelton anyway proceeded to clear the ring with Kozlov, and then they shook hands. This was the most god-awful segment of all times.
I wrote that was the most useless segment there has ever been on any show ever.
How could anyone seriously find that Springer segment worse than this?
I don't know.
I absolutely have no idea. No idea at all.
This was terrible.
Pile of shit this was.
It wasn't even that long, but it just, you know, we were watching this, someone who asked, why is the show going off the air? And you held your hand, this is the beginning of the show, mind you. You held your hand to the screen and turned to them and said, it sucks. And this is the proof.
Yes.
This show sucking. This was the point where I just thought, this is why the show is going off the air. Because it sucks. So instead of, I really thought about this later during Christian's final promo, but, you know, the letters have been around since 1994, and they kept talking about this company like it mattered. They didn't show us any of the things that people are actually going to remember, and you don't want to promote folks like Raven or Shane Douglas or Sandman or Dreamer or people who don't work for you, fine. You could talk to people who do still work for you who used to be on the show. Well, you could say CM Punk got his start on the show. You could say John Morrison's a former ECW champion. You could say Evan Bourne got his start on the show. You could say Miz was on the show. But no, we got Abe Washington and Vance Archer and Trent Beretta and Kalen Croft. Fail!
They said that Carlito would be mentoring Michael Tarver.
Okay, stop right there. The first three words. Carlito will be mentoring. Four words, excuse me. Carlito will be mentoring. That's funny. That is comedy.
They said Tarver's dad was a sparring partner for Mike Tyson. That is a claim to fame.
I like what they said.
His ass was handed to him all the time. Yes.
They claimed that this made him, this proved he had good athletic genes.
What?
I don't know.
He has the genes of a bag.
Of a man who gets beaten repeatedly.
A bag. And they announced it. The Miz. God bless The Miz, everybody. But The Miz will be mentoring Daniel Bryan. That is fucking comedy right there.
You know, you mentioned this at the start of the show, and I actually legit seriously thought you were joking. And then it shot on the screen, and I shrieked.
Yeah.
The Miz is going to teach Bryan Danielson how to wrestle, everybody.
And they said Bryan would, quote, bring a no-nonsense attitude to WWE.
I'll say.
He's in trouble. Then they announced that Christian would mentor Heath Slater, who was colorful with a larger-than-life attitude and a one-man rock band.
This is my favorite description on the entire show. They said he was like a walking rock band without the instruments. That sounds like a shitty rock band.
That sounds like a man.
Just a guy.
Punk will be mentoring Darren Young, who, and I quote everyone, possessed immeasurable strength.
Immeasurable.
So there are not enough weights on the planet.
He just kept lifting them, no matter what they put on the bar.
Immeasurable strength.
I can't wait for NXT.
He possesses immeasurable strength.
It cannot be measured.
You can't put some weight on the bar?
No, we discussed this already. No matter how much weight they put on there.
You've got to put Jupiter on one side and Uranus on the other. I just wanted to put a Uranus joke in there. Holy Christ. Then we had Christian and Zeke in the final ECW title match of all time. They hit each other with shit. Oh, I forgot. First, Christian did a promo. Put over ECW. Talked about Tommy Dreamer. Said, best of all, he was going to go out the final ECW champion of all time. And right then I thought, oh God, he's losing the title. But I couldn't bring myself to think that. I thought, they just let him do his promo before the match, saying he's going out as the last champion, and he's just going to retain the title. Everybody goes home happy. I was fucking wrong. They had a match. It was all right. Zach came out. Christian beat him up. Rosa came out. She slapped Christian. They then cut to the ramp. Tiffany hit the ring. She ran exactly like she talks, completely mechanically, and putting every conceivable bit of effort into this task.
You know what she looked like? She looked like Robert Patrick from Terminator 2, who was, in fact, playing a machine.
No. No. You could have taken a box and rolled a metal box down the ramp, and it would have moved with more fluidity than Tiffany. Someone, please get an animated GIF of this and put it on the website immediately. This was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
And you've seen me run.
Yeah!
Yes.
You looked like...
Carl Lewis?
Well, I was going to say the guy that Michael Tarver...
The man his with dad?
Great athletic genes. That's how you look like compared to this woman.
So she ran down.
I need to see her wrestling regularly now.
Tiffany?
Oh, yeah. After seeing her run?
I want Tiffany on every show.
I would pay so much money to see Tiffany and Hunter in a foot race. I would pay so much money to see that. So anyway, she ran down.
She hit a spear that looked okay.
Hulk Hogan runs better when he gets in the ring and does his jog.
And he can barely move.
He's got two fake hips, two bad knees, and he's 100 years old. So anyway.
She hit a spear that looked okay, and then she hit, I guess it was a face buster that looked beyond amateurish. She like grabbed Rosa's head, and Rosa threw her old head down, and it failed. And she rolled outside and...
said, and I quote, "I told you."
That was
she
her
said.
Quote. And the announcers were, I should have written down what they said, but I was more focused on what they did not say, which was, you know, this is the last ECW show ever. They could say catfight. And then it hit me, they still have Joey Styles. He's still working for this company. Yeah. They could have brought him back one more time.
You'd think.
You would think.
So finally, the finish saw Regal hit the ring. Christian gave him the kill switch. As he got up, Zeke hit a Uranage through the table. 1, 2, 3. Utter bullshit. So,
the new and last ECW champion.
And the show ended, everyone. The show did not end with the new ECW champion, the final one.
Oh, no.
It ended with them announcing that R-Truth will mentor David Otunga, whose claim to fame is he is married to Jennifer Hudson. Yes! There you go, everyone.
So, yes, the last name... There's two funny things here. First of all, just the fact that the last name ever mentioned on ECW television was David Otunga... That's funny in and of itself. And then two, they thought that was a good enough hook to get us to stick through the main event.
Mm-hmm.
They were saving that till the end. Do not watch this show, anybody. If you have this on your DVR and you haven't checked it out yet, don't bother.
Let's play a song.
And this fat fucker was over there pissing in my goddamn pool.
Tell me you blue skies fade to gray. Problems there with the Cornette's on the show tomorrow, everybody. It's cool. Gonna be fun. Let's play this one. We haven't played this in a long time. Kimbo Kimbo, born to fight. With a beard as black as night. What brave fool could hope to try to beat thy fistic wizardry? Was it in your prison cell that you built up your hands from hell? Punching punks with knuckled heat? Is that how? Eat. Did they falter when you said coldly, let me get my bread? Did they in the VIP pump you up with PCP? What the eyeball, what the bird? Overlooked thy anger spurred. Now, vile jelly, no surprise to hear the smack of fist against the eyes. Did Satan make a pleased sound as you cracked through the underground? Did you and your future see the reigning champ of UFC? Kimbo Kimbo, born to fight, with a beard as black as night. What brave fool could hope to try to beat thy fistic wizardry? That was poetry right there.
We need more poetry on the show. Granted, it will be very hard to top Kimbo Kimbo, born to fight.
Yes.
But we do need more poetry regardless.
Somebody write me another poem and I'll read it and you can put it to music. Let's talk about SmackDown here, the only good show of the week.
This show ruled.
This was a great professional wrestling program, everyone. CM Punk and Rey Mysterio had just a fabulous match. They had a fabulous fucking match. And ended with Rey going for the 619. Punk moved, hoisted him up for the GTS. Rey turned into Hurricane Rana, 1-2-3. Just a perfect television match.
The Straight Edge Society, they interfered, but really only at the very end there. And so Rey fought off the interference and countered the finisher and won clean.
Yeah.
A great triumph for the little man. And then the cowardly heels ganged up on him, hit him with a 3-on-1 beating, and laid him out with a finisher like they had done something.
It's great.
This is how pro wrestling is done. The match itself also ruled, and it leads to everything. Because so we have Rey beating Punk here. Now, presumably, Rey will also beat Punk in the chamber. Then Punk will probably lay Rey out and get him knocked out of the chamber, and that will be a build-up for the match at Mania, and everything's going to be awesome. The only thing that was negative here, and it turned out to be so funny it was a positive, was on commentary, when CM Punk hit a power slam, and Todd Grisham attributed this power slam to CM Punk's Muay Thai training.
What an idiot.
Not a kickboxing fan, this man.
Drew McIntyre has new music. I think it's an improvement. I think it makes him come off as a bigger star. And he did this promo, and it led to a match with Kane.
Yes, the key was he declared himself undefeated and unstoppable, then called whoever to come out. It was Kane, and then Drew suddenly changed his mind and said he had nothing to prove. So, there you go.
This match sucked. This was as opposite the first match as you could possibly get. They had a bad match. The finish was shitty. They both ended up outside and got counted out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew beat him up afterwards. Kane cut him off, chokeslammed him. Presumably, he set up a rematch that I have abso-fucking-lutely no desire to see.
I think the finish bothered me most because, you know, we said it 1,000 times, but you can't have Drew McIntyre beat Kane. You can't have Drew McIntyre cheat to beat Kane. You couldn't get his foot on the ropes or something?
No.
Had to be a double count out. Lame.
Mickey backstage eating fruit. Michelle and Layla walked up. They got in a big argument and they had a pie for her they were attempting to tempt her with, and she slapped it out of their hands, and it ended up going up all over Vicky, which caused Vicky to squeal, and Mickey ran off in abject fear. That was great.
I actually thought once the pie went flying through the air, and you heard a loud fake splat sound, I actually thought it was going to land on Beth Phoenix. That would have been a mistake. Putting on Vicky, great news.
We had the Mickey-Layla match that Vicky came out, still covered in pie, which was a great touch, and she turned it into a three-way, and they did their little match here better than I expect, much better than I expected.
It was actually a hell of a 2-on-1 fight while it lasted.
And Mickey tossed Layla off the apron and then walked into a Styles Clash for the pin, so this feud does, in fact, continue with Michelle pinning her, presumably to set up yet another championship match.
I can't complain about this show, though, because the angle set it up made sense, the match was fun, it made sense, and then the finish makes sense and leads to the rematch, so that's all fine.
Mick Dave did the best interview of all time.
Let's start with the jacket. I think it was last week on the show when Dave had the sweater vest and golf cap,
mm-hmm.
and people were like, guys, he's doing for heel heat. You are correct. Dave Bautista is taking the dressing like a douchebag gimmick to unforeseen heights. As noted, he had a sweater vest and golf cap, and he came out this week in a designer denim jacket with a fur collar and no shirt.
Yeah.
And he also had something amazing on Raw. He's always, even when he was beloved, he's still a slave to fashion. I would buy a DVD that was nothing but Dave Bautista going shopping. Either to look cool or to look horrible. Either way, it would be great and educational.
The fans hated this man. They booed him unmercifully. He slowly walked to the ring. He picked up the mic. They booed louder and louder and louder. And so he left. And he was nearly all the way up the ramp. I was nearly peeing myself with joy. And then he turned around and screamed, "You want an explanation?" And he stormed down to the ring. I was screaming at my television.
I did as well.
No! Just... And thankfully, he didn't. He went down there. He again said nothing.
He dropped the mic again.
Retarded heat. And then walked to the back. This is how it's done, everyone.
You're actually underselling it because he teased talking for a long time. Josh was in there asking him a question. Dave just grabbed the microphone and gave Josh a look that read, "You should leave now." Josh left. Dave stood there for a while as the fans booed. He climbed out of the ring, circled it for a while, stared at fans. Had a long stare down with a fan in a Cena shirt doing the "you can't see me" thing, who the fans all cheered for this other fan. Got back to the ring, picked up the mic, and only then did he drop it. He milked doing nothing for all it was worth.
Mm.
This was a moment of pure beauty.
Teddy Long cut a promo. Great follow-up to Shawn Michaels superkicking, by the way. Said last week, Batista refused to compete. Anyway, basically signed Edge versus Batista for SmackDown this week. Why? I have absolutely no idea.
That is probably the biggest negative of this entire show. Why Edge's first singles match back for free with a one-week build against Big Dave. I presume nothing's going to happen. Dave will still refuse to wrestle. But still, terrible idea.
Yeah. Then we had the Matt Hardy, Great Khali versus Tyson Kidd and Harry Boy Smith match. A real match here. Matt dedicated it to his special Valentine Maria. I have absolutely no idea what that's about. So they did the match, and they got the heat on Matt. I was begging for a Great Khali hot tag, but it didn't happen. Tyson ended up rolling up Matt. Matt did a reversal, got the pin. So Khali never got to do his big comeback. And anyway.
Well, the reason...
Clunky match.
Yeah. The reason Maria is with Matt is simply because I think they're going to be feuding with the Hart Dynasty, and they need a girl to do stuff with Natalya. And so Maria wasn't doing anything, and they brought her out here. And that really was the whole point of the entire match, was just to have Natalya interfere so Maria could run down and hit a Thez press on her. And once that was done, they just did a finish, and it didn't matter who won.
They did a cradle, and Stryker claimed it was an Oklahoma roll. Wrong.
He was... he was inaccurate.
They also thought the finish was a 2, and it was a 3. But that was understandable because the whole thing was all fucking up. Fucked up.
And it doesn't matter.
Truth and Morrison, they shook hands, did one high spot. Morrison grabbed his ankle, looked totally fake, hopped around. They brought out geeks. People bought it as real. I have no idea what they're doing. I guess we'll find out on SmackDown.
It was clear when they pulled up Morrison's pants to work on his ankle that he does not tan his legs.
Well, yeah. Fake tan all over the body, you know.
Indeed, indeed.
And then we had the Edge deal where he came down and did a promo and talked about how it was great to win the Chamber or the Rumble because you were guaranteed a shot at Mania. You didn't have to compete in the Chamber match. And talked about how he could challenge any number of people. Orton, Cena, Ray, Punk, whoever it might be.
He described CM Punk as the love child of Brutus Beefcake and Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Manson I can kind of understand. Brutus Beefcake? What?
Because he cuts hair. Oh.
Yeah.
The barber.
Right, I forgot.
Yeah.
Fool. Carry on.
So, they didn't blame the guy. What am I talking about? Oh, Jericho came out, and Jericho was appalled that he'd mentioned every single name, it seemed, except him. And he warned him to stay away from him because he was going to walk into the chamber. He was going to become the champion, and Edge wanted no part of him. So he noted that he was going to destroy The Undertaker tonight, the same Undertaker who 2 years ago at WrestleMania destroyed Edge. And what was, by the way, a fucking great match.
True.
Just want to throw that in there. That led to Taker versus Edge. They did a match. The finish saw them end up outside, and Undertaker booted Edge and ended up getting back in the ring. And Edge speared him as he went for the powerbomb. And I figured that would be the finish. But no, Undertaker did the zombie sit-up, and he went to pick up Jericho. Jericho hit the Codebreaker. 1, 2, 3. This is like the cleanest pin on The Undertaker in years,
in
perhaps.
Eternity. Maybe Brock Lesnar was the last man to actually just beat him clean.
This was just clean as a fucking sheet here.
And you can say, well, Edge interfered, laid them out. After Edge interfered, Taker was walking around fine. Jericho was still prone.
Yeah.
Jericho recovered and defeated The Undertaker.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing what they've done in the past month with this man, having him lose repeatedly and then beat The Undertaker cleanly here. I figure they went into this and suddenly realized, wait a minute, we've been burying Jericho for too long. We need to do something serious to redeem him. And pinning The Undertaker clean counts. Regardless, the show was awesome.
This was a great professional wrestling television show. And if you have not seen it yet, go to Hulu.com and download it, because it's great. Let's play a song, then we'll do Raw is that one guy.
The whole country, we don't see like that, but no, I'm American. What can I do? I'm not gay, I'm not Fran Blair, I'm a man.
Well, I'm the sheep, all by the beat.
I am the man with the 10-inch cock.
Love
that, you know.
Well, at night when you're asleep,
fuck your ass, even you a fight
into your tent. I'll creep.
I put a beer bottle in your fucking ass.
The salt, the chime, the bubble.
The Lochomani be very mad.
The light, our way to love.
Coming yet or not?
You rule this world with me.
Oh no, she's too ugly, a douchebag.
I'm the sheep, all I could be.
Don't get fucking smart with me.
I wish I knew what was going on in the man's head.
A lot.
I gotta play
this. The answer is a lot.
I feel bad making fun of Melina all the time, so I don't know if I should play this.
But you're going to.
Well, maybe I should.
You're going to.
Well, I'm just fascinated because I don't know what it is.
What does it say?
It just says, Melina shitty interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest at this time. She is the WWE Women's Champion, Melina. Melina, let's get your thoughts on the number one contenders match taking place tonight for your women's championship between Gail Kim and Michelle McCool.
Well, Josh, all I have to say is that I'm a competitor. I came here to be the best, and I have the opportunity to show the WWE Universe that I am above and beyond the most dominant diva in WWE history. Now, I show my superiority to the best that Raw had to offer, and I'm going to do the same thing on SmackDown, whether it's with Gail Kim or Michelle McCool. I'm going to do what I do best.
So, Melina, you don't have a preference as to who...
Michelle told me to give you a little message, Cupcake. Really, Alicia. That women's championship will soon be hers. Well, can you give Michelle McCool a message from me? Tell her not to send a little girl to do a woman's job.
That was, in fact,
that was a shitty promo.
Horrible.
I'm going to start listening to promos. I'm going to like turn my back to the screen and not watch them. I will just listen.
Yes.
They're funnier that way.
They are very, very shitty nowadays. All right, one more. Marvelous Sam and Vinny V.
Oh,
holy shit,
Knox.
Sorry.
The Knox. hold your right arm out straight from your body at about 9 o'clock. Take your left arm, hold it out at about 1:30.
1:30.
So your right arm is straight out and your left arm is halfway between straight up and straight out. The Knox. The Knox.
Yeah. Let's not do the Knox, Vince.
I'm not.
Why didn't you do the Knox in our match?
Wow, I must have forgotten that one.
Do you have any comments, by the way, on your performance?
I did lose. You lost.
We did lose.
We did lose.
How dare you blame me?
I didn't fall down. I almost fell down, but
exactly.
I didn't fall down. I had a good time. That's all that matters.
I like how you managed to boot a fat man in the gut and he took a flat back bump.
What's that?
You booted the protection in the gut and he took a flat back
bump. Yes.
It was awesome.
Yes. No, I didn't take any bumps.
That's true.
That made it better.
Wait till next time.
I'll have to take some bumps. I'll fix that. That's going to suck.
I'll fix that.
That'll be no fun.
If you haven't seen it, it's probably off the front page by now, but if you go to the front page and there's a menu up top, you go to more, and then you scroll down to front page archive, and then search through that, and you'll see the video link to the Brian and Vinny. We teamed up.
Yeah.
We had a fucking battle. It's on YouTube.
We went to war.
We went to war, and we failed. But better luck next time is what I have to say. Better luck next time. Otherwise, I'm going to get a fucking new partner.
Mm.
That's all I have to say about that. All right, let's talk about Raw. Go ahead.
There's a big...
15-year-old hometown singing sensation.
There was a big, giant President's Day ceremony with the Marine Color Band, and yes, a 15-year-old girl singing America's Beautiful or Star-Spangled Banner. I don't know because I fast-forwarded through it, and it took her forever.
15-year-old hometown singing sensation. Those are the exact words that they used. Sheamus opened the show and faced Orton.
Didn't we just pay to see this?
Well, I just was baffled that Sheamus was in the opener.
Sheamus is in the opener against a guy who we paid to see him wrestle 2 weeks ago.
And he won via DQ when Goose screwed up.
And it sucked.
Yeah.
In the pay-per-view. This one did not suck as bad. It didn't have the same finish. Sheamus was beaten the entire fucking time. And at first I was confused because, as we noted, you know, this is the second time they've done this where Randy Orton wrestles Sheamus. The crowd wants to cheer Orton, but the match is put together so as they won't get a chance to cheer him. He should be, you know, getting beaten up and then make a big comeback. Instead, he completely dominated Sheamus here. And I thought to myself, well, is Sheamus going to make a big comeback? And the answer is no. Sheamus is going to get thrown outside. He's going to throw one punch at Teddy Biasi. Then Cody Rhodes is going to hit him and cause a disqualification.
Sucked.
No good. Sucks for Sheamus.
Yeah, and then afterwards they had Orton hit Cody with the RKO. Sheamus took out DiBiase. Orton took out Sheamus. And everyone cheered Orton. Which begs the question, why didn't you just book the match so that he would be cheered?
I don't know.
Absolutely no idea what's going on.
I don't either, but I can only... Ordinarily, I would really hate that I don't know what's going on, but the fact that three of these men are facing each other in the chamber, or at least means, you know, they've established they don't necessarily like each other.
I'll let you talk about the Bret Hart segment. Dave and I talked about this for about 15 minutes last night. I will say that, long story short, Bret said goodbye. He went to get in a car. A bad woman driver apparently drove into his leg, and he was badly injured and taken to the hospital. Now, a million people have emailed today. I mean, literally maybe a million people have called or texted or emailed me today saying, Brian, what if it's a fake injury? He didn't really hurt his leg. It was all a ruse by Bret and Cena so that McMahon comes out and he accepts the match with a crippled Bret. And then after they sign the contract and it's set in stone, Bret reveals he's not really hurt. It's a great fucking idea. I have no faith that's where they're going. Maybe they will. I don't know. I just know that All along, there was supposed to be an injury angle. And it wasn't supposed to be a fake injury angle. It was supposed to be an injury angle to put Brett out of action. They could always change their mind. Who knows? But based on the number of people that presume this is where they're going, I just have this feeling that's not what they're going to do. And that Brett is really going to be hurt. So I guess we'll wait and see. There's a lot of ideas that have gone through this website in the last couple of weeks, including my favorite, personally, which is that there's blood in the elimination chamber, and they open the door to let the doctor in to, I guess, fix the cut on Undertaker's head. But the doctor's Shawn fucking Michaels, and he super kicks the Undertaker, and Jericho gets the pin in the title. Again, we've talked about it here. So therefore, I think there's zero chance of it happening. So, I guess we'll see, but I'm not holding out hope yet.
Well, we'll start with the positive, which was Brett's promo in and of itself. Bret Hart came to the ring, and he showed the entire world how to cut a promo. He said Vince wasn't there tonight, which is too bad, because he said he would have waited for Vince at the airport, or at the hotel, or in the car, or in the building. He came here to finish things with Vince once and for all. And then fans started to chant, "What?" at him. Steve Austin, "What?" And it rattled him, and he took a second to collect himself and gather his thoughts, and he repeated Vince's words about how he deserved to be screwed, and the crowd mildly booed, and then he said Vince deserved to get his ass kicked, and the crowd went crazy, and they never chanted "What?" again. Bret Hart is the man. So he called Vince the world's greatest liar, said he wouldn't find him at the bottom of the barrel of liars, he would find him underneath the barrel. He said he had his heart set on one last Mania match, and it would have been sweet to get one more win at Mania, but it's not going to be. He said victory will last a lifetime, but excellence will last forever. He thanked the crew, the boys in the back, for welcoming him here. Thanked the universe for being so kind and accepting him again. Specifically thanked John Cena for allowing him to live a last few special moments.
I'd just like to say that the universe is
stupid.
It's not kind.
Oh, the actual universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he thanked the fans one more time, and then he said goodbye. Then there was an awesome segment of Brett going backstage and saying goodbye to people. He said goodbye to Kofi, said goodbye to Jack Swagger, said goodbye to Alicia Fox, and added, "See you around," in case she's, you know, stumbles into Calgary one day. Said goodbye to Primo, adding in, "Say hi to your dad." Then Gail Kim, then Evan Bourne. Then he started strolling with Cena. Cena was trying to talk him into staying, said there was still stuff to be done. And Brett said, "No, we have nowhere to go." And so he got into his car, and as you noted, a girl backed into the car. And according to John Cena, he caught his leg in the thing. So they had an ambulance there within about 20 seconds. I perhaps I'm the only person in the world who didn't think it was terribly stupid. I wasn't thrilled with it. I didn't think, "Boy, this is awesome." But I was not. My stomach was not turned. I just thought, okay, they put Brett in a car. They had a girl allegedly on accident strike him. I was thinking this woman would obviously be bought off by Brett at some point just to fuck with Brett, or bought off by Vince one more time just to fuck with Brett one more time. But as far as the stunt coordination goes, I thought this was actually a thing of genius, because Brett climbed into the car, the camera cut away, several seconds passed, enough time to get Brett safely into the car and put whatever they had to get in there to block the door. The other car backed into the limo. We didn't see it. We only heard it. Then Cena went running back, at which point the camera was at such an angle that we could not actually see the car hit the limo. For all we know, they never even really touched. Later, they had security camera footage that showed it all from start to finish. But again, we just saw Brett get into the car, a few seconds passed, the other car backed into it. It was still on the other side of the limo, so we didn't see the impact. So, whoever actually coordinated this stunt is a genius.
Not sure what she looks like today, but Jade Hart is a blonde.
Intriguing.
So anyway, that was a segment. I thought, like I said, we'll see where it goes. Everyone's idea is good, but a lot of good ideas that are too good, basically. We had the commercial where Michael Cole came back and said, "This might be the worst night of Bret Hart's life."
I did not catch that line.
He really swear to honest to God said this.
That is so much stupider than saying CM Punk from the Power Slam in his Muay Thai training.
Yeah.
That may be the stupidest thing he's ever said.
Astounding.
I mean, he may have been there, then I don't want to hurt died. You know?
He's...
So...
He says what he's told, let's be honest.
Show Miz wrestled MVP and Mark Henry. Big Show and Miz came out. They had five belts.
Miz is a man with three championship belts.
They looked like kings.
The Miz, everyone.
Yes.
So I don't have really a problem with it. I mean, you got to set up a challenger, but Miz and the Big Show won the belts last week.
I had a problem with it.
And they already got beat this week.
It's not even that they got beat. It's how they got beat. Big Show was in there with MVP. MVP charged, showed a super kick and tagged in Miz. And then Miz ran in and got cradled and pinned. Mm-hmm. Hell of a debut for the new tag team champs.
Yeah.
So, that sucked.
We had the Jerry Springer segment. I talked about it last night. I'll say it again. Not even top 100 worst WWE segments of all time. I mean, seriously. Abraham Washington. There's never been a single Abraham Washington show that was better than this skit.
Ever.
And I know there's been at least 100 of them. Well, maybe not that many.
Actually, no, but...
It's probably been about 25. But still, there's 25 right there that are worse than this segment.
No, for most of this, I enjoyed it. The actual ending with Jerry Lawler revealing it was all a work, that actually took it down several notches in my book. But as far as the actual skit itself, you know, Kelly came out...
Why did that take it down any notches?
Just, I don't know.
No shit, it's all a work.
That's why I took it down. It was like, it was explaining a joke. Explaining a joke makes it not funny.
PG, and they cannot tell people that Kelly is a whore.
Kelly is a dirty, dirty whore. She is, and by the way, happy about it.
Well, I don't know if it was that. She just could not keep a straight face with any of this idiocy.
Kelly came down to the ring. Jerry Lawler got off his best line in forever as Kelly is strolling down to the ring, and Lawler just says, "Way to go, God."
I think what they had to have done is they had to have gotten all the girls together and said, here's the script for the Jerry Springer segment. With we don't have a girl yet, but here's the skit. On a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid do you think this is? And a bunch of the girls probably said, 1, it's not very stupid at all. And Kelly probably wrote, 11, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So they put her in the role.
Sure.
Had to have been what happened.
Sure. So... She got in the ring. Jerry Springer noted she had not been wrestling lately. Kelly said that's because she's pregnant. Everyone went boo, including myself. And she replied, this is also a quote, yeah, pregnant. Awesome. Then she announced she was not sure who the father was, and she was smiling broadly throughout all this and said there was a lot of possibilities. So, yes, for 10 glorious minutes, her gimmick is that she's a dirty, filthy whore. So Santino came out, called Jerry Moripovich. Kelly said she needed someone else to finish the job. Michael Cole said, that was our little secret, you loose-lipped hussy, in a line I'm sure he wrote. Lawler took responsibility. He was far and away the most lengthy candidate so far, until, as Jerry Springer noted, Kelly is too old for him.
Which lips were loose?
Oh, Brian. This brought the Bella Twins out. Nikki said Brie was a man.
King of the board.
They fought. Chris Masters came out. Here is where I decided this had to end with Great Khali being the father. Eve came out. Eve and Kelly had a cat fight. Springer had the paternity test results. Santino said that's not possible. Springer said, I'm Jerry Springer. And the father tried to be Hornswoggle, which is actually significantly better than being the Great Khali. So he came out. He was happy. Everyone had a party. Springer talked about leprechauns, giants, and other issues. And then Lawler revealed that it was, in fact, all a work. Kelly is not pregnant. Brie is not a man. Ranjan Singh openly buried this all as a giant waste of time.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have trouble hating anything when they openly admit that. Not that I hated it before that point. But when they acknowledge this is crap television designed to get people to not be able to look away, I can't hate them for it. And so...
I did think it was funny where there were people on the board talking about how, man, if this had run up against Impact, everybody would have turned to TNA.
Why?
Wrong.
False, yeah.
Absolutely incorrect. That assumption there shows that you have not followed the ratings at all over the years. This is the kind of segment where everybody on Impact would have watched this. It's just the way things work.
People like bullshit, basically.
I'll say it again. I've said this many times. Everybody, as much as people bitch about Hornswoggle, they actually put Hornswoggle in an extended segment on Raw on January 4th. And do you want to know what happened? Raw gained viewers and Impact lost viewers, okay? Say what you will. I'm not saying they should put Hornswoggle on TV all the time, nor am I even saying that he's a rating draw. But the facts are that when Hornswoggle was on Raw opposite Impact, Raw gained viewers and Impact lost viewers. Those are just the facts. Go on.
Indeed. We had Kofi Kingston versus Ted DiBiase. I was sitting here wondering why Kofi was running wild on Ted, and then it suddenly hit me that Kofi Kingston is in the Elimination Chamber.
And also, Ted got beat up earlier.
Sure, but more to my point, what the fuck is Kofi Kingston doing in the Elimination Chamber?
Because he's the guy they put in there every show to pretend like they're pushing someone new.
Yes.
And they just continually bury him like they did here.
Yes.
He ran wild and then he got
pinned.
Everything
on earth, and then Ted hit a move, move, and pinned him. It sucks bad to be Kofi.
Yeah.
He should be one of the rookies on NXT.
They announced Inoki going to the Hall of Fame.
Very cool video.
Yep. Talked about Ali. Talked about the Peace Festival in Pyongyang. Talked about a lot of different things. So, yeah, there you go. Had security camera footage of the blonde chick breaking Brett's leg. We had Springer's final thought being a preview of the Elimination Chamber. This, by the way, was the go-home segment pushing the Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
Okay. As a show building up the pay-per-view, this fucking sucked.
Yes,
let's just get that out of the way here
true.
Very quickly. We had Cena coming out doing a promo, and he basically challenged Dave to come out, and Dave appeared on the big screen instead in a polo shirt. I have no idea where he got this.
I wrote down a polo shirt and sunglasses, and that description does no justice to either of these items.
The polo logo on this polo shirt was like the size of Dave's quad.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
And it was fire engine red.
Yes.
Just the most garish outfit ever. And he appears on the Titantron, sitting down in a studio somewhere, and he waves at the screen and says, "Hi, John."
Yeah.
Awesome. I love my favorite thing about this feud so far is that they refer to each other as John and Dave.
Yes. So basically they're gonna have a meeting next week,
yes,
on Raw.
Yes. Dave said he was doing Cena a favor because Cena didn't want him in the same building, the same ring as him. Said if they ever were in the same ring again, John would wish it was all a bad dream. John Cena said those are the words of a tough guy. And or people who are trying to act like they're tough because you don't want none of this. And then Dave, in an awesome heel line, said John always ran his mouth when Dave wasn't there. Even though Cena has been calling Dave out for weeks and Dave still won't arrive. But he's promised to be there next week, and he wished John luck on Sunday.
Trivia question. Don't cheat. If you are listening to this right now, can you remember the main event of Raw last night?
I have notes.
Think, everyone. What was the main event of Raw on Monday night? Well, if you've already forgotten, it was John Cena versus Triple H. Match we've seen, I think, literally a million times.
I was going to say a billion.
They did a bunch of moves.
They did do something new here. I'm sure they've never done this spot before. Hunter Hearst Helmsley attempted a knee drop, and John Cena reached up and blocked it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they've never done this spot before, because I would remember something that stupid.
They did a bunch of stuff, submission attempts at the end. People kind of got into it a little at the end, but it's not like
it was a match we had seen a billion times before with absolutely nothing on the line and no reason to care who won or lost.
So finally, Hunter went for the pedigree. Sheamus rushed in, booted him for the shitty DQ. Cena tried to give him the FU. Sheamus gave him the big boot. And then he lifted up Hunter and gave him the razor's edge, which shocked me. Shocked me that Hunter took this move. And his head thumped off the canvas like a basketball, and that looked like it sucked. So I don't see Hunter taking that move again anytime soon. And then the crowd told Sheamus that he sucked.
The show ended. The
show went off the air.
So yeah. I wasn't a great Raw. It's not like
no.
I immediately burned it to the DVD. Not like I had any desire to ever watch it again. But I was not left hating life.
But man, as the go-home show for the pay-per-view, this sucks balls.
That I will concur with. I was not left eagerly anticipating the Elimination Chamber.
All right, I'm going to do a couple shout-outs here, then we'll play our final show. For those that don't know what shout-outs are, if you sign up for the website as a member, you get a shout-out. And why would you sign up, you ask? Well, if you like this show, You only get to hear it once every other week. You don't even get to hear this show every week because we alternate the Brian and Vinny Show and Wrestling Observer Radio. You get one show a week as a freeloader. If you sign up, you get a show every single day, sometimes several shows per day. I've done two today already. Besides the Brian and Vinny Show, I had the Figure Four Daily with Jerry Jarrett. Tomorrow we got another show. Kurt Brown and Dr. Lucha are going to be on in the morning. And then I'll be back again later on in the afternoon with Dave, and we'll interview Jim Cornette. Just an example of the next 2 days. We do shows all the time. If you go to the gym, if you have a commute, if you do anything that requires or work, for example, if you want to just listen to something all day, you love wrestling or MMA, well, sign up to the website. It's $9.99 a month. That's it. Think about, say, the cost of your cable bill or your phone bill, or even how much you probably spent on coffee this week. $9.99 a month, and you not only get 10 to 12 new audio shows every single week, but you get full access to our archive, which goes all the way back to, I believe, October of 2005. So, let me actually go up and just, we'll look very quickly here. If you signed up today, you would get 332 episodes of Wrestling Observer Radio, 111 Dragon Kings, 86 Dr. Keith shows, 579 Brian and Vinny shows, 806 Figure Four Dailies, 174 Five Star Radios, 182 Adam and Mike shows, and 51 Tough Talks. Right now, if you signed up right now, you'd get all of those. Full access to all of them, plus all of the new shows that we do. As a member, you also get two newsletters, The Observer and The Figure Four. The Observer is put out once or twice a week, new issues, and a back issue from 1992 as well. We've got 197 Observers and 449 issues of Figure Four Weekly, all in the archives. Each issue is like 30,000 words for The Observer, about 25,000 words for Figure Four. Some of the Observers are as many as 50,000 words. That's the length of The Great Gatsby. It's basically covering the wrestling business and MMA, the history of it over the last God knows how many years. You get access to all of that as well. So anyway, check out the site, WrestlingObserver.com. If you like what you see, if you like what you get for free, and we have other samples, you can add to the right-hand side of the page. There's a list of the latest three free radio shows. Download all three of those, and if you love them, just think about getting all of that every day, plus the full archives. $9.99 a month. Sign up. WrestlingObserver.com. Very cheap. Very cheap. Especially if you get porn sites, for example. Those are much more expensive. Give you a much better deal here. Much better deal. And so check it out. WrestlingObserver.com. And if you sign up, you not only get access to all of that, and our board, by the way. Our board, what a selling point that is. Get access to the board and all the songs we play on the show. But you get a shout-out. So let's read our shout-outs right now. This is from Michael. Brian and I have been subscribing for around a year now. I've had a pretty good Figure Four experience thus far. I've had a song played on the Brian and Vinny Show, Brent's Ode to Missy. Sent Granny a mailbag question and posted a picture in the awesome Dave's leather jacket thread on the board. But I hadn't cashed in my free shout out until now. Someone whose fiance doesn't like wrestling because it's, quote, so fake, and doesn't like MMA because it's, quote, too violent. I don't really watch too much of either nowadays outside of the big shows, but I love the content of the website. To any freeloaders, it is money well spent, so sign up. I actually look forward to my 1 hour each way commute to work and rugby training because I've got so much audio to listen to. I have absolutely nothing useful to plug, so I'll just name drop the great professional rugby league team that I support, the Penrith Panthers, and my local rugby union club that I play for, Hawkesbury Valley Rugby Club. Keep up the great work, and congratulations again to Vinny, King Vinny, on his reign of apathy. That's from Michael.
You know,
a reign of apathy.
If your fiancé won't let you watch wrestling, maybe you should get a new fiancé.
Or MMA. Yeah. I don't like to tell people how to live their
lives. If your fiancé won't let you watch what you want to watch, kind of rethink things.
Love advice from Vince, everyone. This is from Ed in San Antonio.
Love advice.
Ed here says, Chico, Vinny, and the Empire is the official party planner for the Empire. I want to let everyone know about the two big Empire events coming up. First off, we'll be having the third annual WrestleMania meetup in Phoenix, Arizona. Friday, we'll be having a big dinner at, more than likely, Fogo de Chao. Then Brian, Craig, Crippler One, and I will be attending the Friday Night ROH show. Saturday, we'll be attending the afternoon ROH show, then the WWE Hall of Fame, then the Dragon Gate show that night. Sunday is WrestleMania. Everyone who is planning on attending, please go to the board and in the Pro Wrestling Forum, post in the WrestleMania thread that is stickied at the top of the page. More event details forthcoming. Second event will be our fourth annual F4W Vegas convention on Memorial Day weekend. It will feature a meet and greet on Thursday night, more than likely at Dick's. Friday, we'll have our big dinner at Samba's in the Mirage. No, we won't. Ed?
You're laying down the law?
I'm laying down the law. Fuck Samba's. They fucked us over twice now. We're going to try the all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouse in the Mandalay Bay, I believe it is. So, Ed, please look into that. I'm putting my foot down on Samba's. Anyway, thanks to the great man, we will have a free suite to party in with a giant 420-foot balcony. We will start there, then a limo will pick us up and take us to whatever strip club that Mike Sawyer arranges for it to go to, and then back to the suite. For those not attending the strip club, more than likely Stevie J will be planning a trip downtown. Saturday will be the UFC show, and Sundays we usually just hang out and get drunk. Is everyone attending or thinking of attending?
Well, so you hang out and remain drunk.
Yeah.
The drinking actually starts Thursday or so.
Everyone attending or thinking of attending, go to the MMA forum, post in the convention thread, which Brian needs to change from Labor Day to Memorial Day weekend and sticky. All right. If you ever wanted to meet Dave Meltzer, this is your chance. P.S. Everyone check out the drunk cast from this past Friday night with Dave. I guarantee that it's better than any show that Brian has ever done with Dave. Well, you're wrong about that, Ed.
Ed is an amazingly competitive man sometimes.
Yes, but, you know, it's good to have a goal even if you constantly fail at it. So anyway, those are the shout-outs, everybody, and thanks again for listening. Let's play one final song, and then we'll wrap this baby up. This one's a classic.
Dang-a-da-dang-a-da-dang. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang!
For like a year.
El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo. He tried to kill me, so I gotta return the favor.
I believe in two eyes for an eye.
Gonna bounce his head on the table 10 times. Dong, 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 dong. Don't you ever do this. Smack his face. Ow! Knee to the face. Bang, bang, bang. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm gonna break your leg. Okay, I'm sorry. Bang, no, I'm not. Pushing down as hard as I can. Break the arm. And I go whoop like this. And I slit your throat. And it's over and out. Wrong move. Don't do that to El Guapo. Bang, bang. Bang. 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 El Guapo. We are in a happening place. There are many weapons. A glass, very dangerous. You can stab it right in front of somebody's face. Then we have the pepper and salt. Now it can blind him. Of course, a nice little plate. Break it, and now it's a stabbing device. It will have sharp edges, and it can cut your throat. You can cut people with it. Oh, look at this. Now, this is a big one. The bottle of beer. I was on the street. I took 2 beer bottles because we were fighting like 7 guys. You break the bottle on his head, that will work for sure. Listen, somebody's telling me that about my wife. I grab his toes and then I'm gonna go like that. This knee will be shattered. Now I got 2 people only to take care of. Like a Jackie Chan roundhouse kick. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo.
Bang! Bang! To the bang! 3 times. Grab the barrel.
Give me your wallet. Maybe he holds a gun there. And they shot already 2 people. You know you're gonna die.
Boom!
I'm gonna... gonna die.
Elbow and bang, bang.
Grab the gun, hit him with the barrel.
You got him.
Whoa, that's fucked up. They touch me or my family, they're gonna get hurt. That's just the way I am. The guy was trying to pick my eyes out. First he took my one eye out, and then he tried the other eye. I knocked him down. I had this fight against three major drug dealers. If somebody punches me, I take the punch. He's not gonna knock me out. Right there, I break his spirit. But somebody from above saved me. He had a glass in his hand. My face would have been a big mess. Fighting is great. Don't see me as a fighting person. Hasta la vista, baby.
Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo. Bang! 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 El Guapo.
The great Mr. Canada, everybody. The great Mr. Canada. That is it from here. I guess we'll see you again on Friday night.
Adios.